The sound of the lamp shattering the floor was enough to wake me up from a deep sleep that morning. I reached for the glasses in my nightstand, only to have my senses jolted, quite literally, by the sudden shaking of the ground beneath me. Alarmed, the only thing I thought to do was curl myself into a ball and wait for the earthquake to pass. The entire complex shook as the walls and ceiling groaned around me. I laid there, helplessly, while listening to more of my belongings shatter in the other rooms and furniture tipping over all around me, hoping above all else that the roof wouldn't cave in atop of me. After what felt like the longest minute of my life, the tremors subsided. My thoughts were a jumbled mess of confusion and panic. Did that really just happen? I jumped out of bed and reached out once more for my glasses, only to realize they were no longer on my stand, but on the floor. To my luck, they were still in one piece. Unfortunately, the same couldn't be said for the number of my belongings that hung on the walls. A quick survey across my bedroom was enough to show that everything had fallen, strewn about everywhere as if someone had ransacked the entire place. My TV, along with all of my pictures, lay in heaps on the floor. I stood there, dumbfounded and frustrated at the mess, and imagining the dollar value to replace and repair growing larger with each broken item I had seen. Feeling dread seep into me, knowing full well that I would see worse horrors waiting for me beyond my bedroom. The noises alone had told me as such. It was as if a tornado ran through from the inside. Furniture was tipped over, shelves left open with all their contents spilt out on the ground. My kitchen alone looked like the aftermath of a war zone, an assorted mess of a variety of broken dishware, glasses and silverware, all strewn about ground zero. It felt like being thrown in one terrible dream as the dollar amount in my head to replace everything grew with each sight of broken and damaged items. I got dressed and was ready to leave my complex when a sudden rattling of dishes inside the sink stole my attention. I braced myself against the counter, thinking that it was the beginning of an aftershock, but with no oncoming movements and no other sound to be heard other than the sink, I settled back. I stood there, listening in, as clink and clatter of dishes and silverware kept on. It wasn't as if the plates were tipping over and making noise. There was a strange beat to it, as if the noise was being deliberately made, like something was moving the plates from the underside. I moved over to get a closer inspection and see what was there, and could only see my dishes stacked over the drain. The intensity of the beating picked up the closer I got, and from there, I could tell that there was something literally pushing itself up from inside the drain, attempting to get through the dishes. With each bump, the dishes were being shifted upward little by little. A chill ran through me, like every sense seemed to kick into fight or flight. All that pent-up adrenaline in my body was now forcing its way through and instinctively telling me to stay away from that sink. The top dish slipped loose to the side. I stepped a few feet back away and paused at the edge of my counter. My mind raced, trying to figure out what the hell was happening as the plates rattled away. I tried to rationalize that maybe it was a rat that had somehow found itself through my pipes and was attempting to break through. I quickly grabbed one of those steak knives from the floor and poised myself, waiting over the sink and hoping above all else that the rattling would stop. Another plate shook loose from the pile. "Come on already," I shouted, more in defense against my own fears as I stood there, knife trembling in hand, and raised over that sink like a statue. Out of everything that's happened, I fully expected whatever was making that sound to suddenly burst through my dishes and attack me. But nothing appeared. After what looked like one last bump, the shuddering seemingly ended, with an odd gurgling sound of water bubbling from the drain, and a small pool of water rose around the base of the bottom plate. Setting the knife down on the counter, I made one last glance back into it. The puddle seemed to stagnate with no other movement. Whatever had happened seemingly ended right there and then. I moved my hand just above the dishes, thinking to maybe move them away from the drain and see the origin of that sound. But I hesitated. It felt like I was hovering my hand over the jaws of some beast, and a feeling came over me that if I were to move those plates, I would feel that bite. I made my way back to my bedroom, when a sudden loud knocking on my door caused me to jump back in surprise. "Eric, it's Mrs. Birkin, are you okay?" I relaxed a bit, hearing a familiar voice muffled through the door. "I'm all right, Mrs. Birkin," I yelled back. I made my way to the front entrance and opened it, to find her worried face staring at me. "Oh, thank goodness, I heard you shouting and I wasn't sure. Paul and I were just pulling up to our room when the quake set in, and it just shook everything." I was relieved to find that she was okay as well. Being new in town, the Birkins were about as friendly a neighbour you could get, treating me with a care that rivaled my grandparents. I was asleep when it hit. I probably would have slept through it if it weren't for everything in my room falling to pieces. I said that jokingly, trying to relieve the tension and worry etched on Mrs. Birkin's face. But that didn't seem to relieve her as she saw the mess laying just behind me. "Oh no, look at this place, and you were just settling in too. Don't you worry one bit, honey. I'll help you clean this mess up in no time." "Oh hey, no, it's alright." She raised a hand to shush me with an expression that reminded me of my third grade teacher commanding the classroom to full obedience. "Nonsense. You're my neighbour and I'm here to help. Now, let me get a look inside and see just how much work is needed to be done here." A bit of relief settled in as we made our way to the kitchen. As much as I tried to play off the idea of being selfless, I really didn't want to clean this mess all by myself. The kitchen was proof enough that this was going to be an all-day event, judging from the carnage on the ground. Shards of glass and porcelain covered nearly every inch of the floor, along with my microwave hanging over the counter by its extension cord. Having seen all that she needed to see, Mrs. Birkin left and returned with some cleaning supplies. I took the broom and a pair of latex gloves and started with the broken dish shards in front of me, while Mrs. Birkin shoveled the pieces into a bag. "Is it common to get earthquakes in this area?" "Honestly, honey, it's the strangest thing. For as long as Paul and I have been here, this is the first we've ever experienced one." That wasn't a good sign. The Birkins have lived in the city since the 70s. For an earthquake to hit as hard as it did in an area that, up until this point, never had encountered one, left me feeling that this wasn't an average occurrence. My thoughts drifted back onto what happened with my sink, and I shuddered as my imagination played on a twisted vision of a clawed hand reaching through the drain to grab me. That's strange. I wish I could check the news, but my TV's completely totaled. A sudden groan from the pipes echoed from my bathroom, followed by an even louder sound of water bubbling emanating from within. The sound was enough to tear our attention away from what we were doing. That same bubbling noise that came from the sink was now louder and more distinct. Panic set in. Could whatever was making that noise in the sink now be in the tub? Even worse was the fact that there was nothing blocking the drain there. "Are you okay, honey?" Mrs. Birkin could see the unease on me. "What? No, the noise just, my plumbing has been making odd noises all morning." My nerves and imagination were getting the better of me. There had to be a reasonable explanation for this. At least, that was my hope. "Well, you're in luck that Paul's a plumber. Let me go and see what it is for you and—" "No!" I didn't mean to shout, but I was so sure that if I sent her out there, she wouldn't come back. "Sorry, I just mean, my bathroom was already a wreck from before the earthquake. I'm kind of embarrassed about it, so I'll go and check first. You stay here." It was a terrible excuse, but Mrs. Birkin just rolled her eyes and waved me away, giving me the go-ahead. Going into the bathroom, I felt like I was walking into a lion's den, and each step in felt like walking through molasses, as if my own body was working against me from entering in. Armed with a broom, I shut the door behind me with the tub facing directly in front of me. The bubbling had stopped the moment I walked in, but I could see another pool of water had backed up from the drain, same as my sink. At the very end of my tub, where the drain had been, was a tiny black mass, unmoving. I edged my way in closer, leading with a broom, and, upon a closer inspection, I heaved the biggest sigh of relief as I realized it was a tangle of hair covering the drain. The plumbing must have backed up from the quake. I set the broom aside and moved into the edge of my tub. I moved to wipe the hair away with my gloved hand and expected it to come off with ease. But, for whatever reason, it stayed there, unmoving, not even an inch from the drain, save for a few strands of hair separating from the tangle. I gripped it as firmly as I could and pulled, and this time I could see it give, but there was a resistance to it. I pulled even harder, and the strands of hair stretched and bunched even tighter, until at last, it separated itself from the drain. The water began to plunge itself back through the drain, as I stood there with a glob of hair no bigger than a baseball in my hand. I made my way to throw it in the trash can, when it suddenly began to quiver in my palm. Two small yellow orbs jutted from the tangle of hair, with what looked like tiny black pupils transfixed right at me. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. This thing was alive. I swatted my hand aside, but the glob stuck firmly on the glove. It began to tremble once more as a number of strands protruded from itself and reached itself around my glove, yanking me forward. With my other hand, I tore that glove away and tossed it inside the tub as the glob seemingly enveloped the entirety of it with hair. I stumbled backwards, trying to get back to the door, and fell on the ground. A high-pitched chirping came from the tub, followed by a quick tapping of what sounded like fingernails raced against its walls. I laid there, horrified, as four black, hairy legs curled themselves around the lip of the tub and heaved itself upward. It looked like a twisted version of a tarantula, with two grotesque eyes staring at me from the center of its body. It quivered once more as five indentations of what looked like human canines jutted from the end of its legs and leapt off the tub, racing towards me. I screamed at the top of my lungs, thinking I was doomed when the door swung open. Mrs. Birkin slammed the broom down atop the creature and stopped it in its tracks long enough for me to scramble back up and out of the bathroom. Mrs. Birkin slammed the door shut, leaving the creature inside.
What was that?
I had no explanation. I doubt any of which would have made sense, given what we had experienced. The bathroom door thudded loudly next to us, and I could hear it clatter up and down the door, attempting to get through.
Mrs. Birkin, we need to leave.
The handle on the door started to turn. Mrs. Birkin rushed past me and grabbed it, holding it as tightly as she could.
Get Paul!
Without wasting a second, I ran from the room and through my main entrance to the Birkins. To my luck, their doorway was wide open. I ran inside, calling for Paul, but no answer came back. I screamed his name once more, and a chilling response came back to me. Another high-pitched chirp. From their bedroom, a dark silhouette shambled out in the shape of a person, only it was completely wrapped from head to toe in wet hair. It was Paul. A pair of yellow eyes lay in inset over where Paul's eyes would be, and from his mouth was a row of jagged teeth. It raised a gnarled, clawed hand over in my direction and lurched forward, shuffling my way as quickly as it could. I ran back outside and shut the door, racing over towards my room in hopes that I could reach Mrs. Birkin in time. My heart sank when I heard another, louder chirp coming from my doorway, followed by a muffled scream. I wish I could say I rushed in. I wish I could say that I tried to help and save her. But I ran from my apartment complex, crying hysterically. I drove as far as I could and slept in my car for 3 days straight. Each time I woke, I had hoped that I was back in my apartment, wishing futilely that it was all some bad dream. But my reality was an unexplainable nightmare.
That damn quake. It all started from it, and something came from it. To this day, I haven't gone back, and the sight of loose air causes me to panic. Please, if you see something in your drain, run.